Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning. Welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm glad, very glad once again that you can tune in and join us. I'm very pleased to share with you that I have two returning guests this morning that actually were on the program with us last week. Returning is Pastor Brian Busby, who is the Life Group Pastor at Valley Baptist Church right here in Bakersfield, California, and also a fellow brother in Christ whose name is Joseph Chrysostomo. He is going to be leading a very, very important group that's coming up at Valley Baptist Church in January of next year. Gentlemen, welcome back. Good to have you.
Good to be here again.
Yeah, good to be back.
Pastor Brian, if you wouldn't mind, once again, would you give the details about this new group, class, really, support group that's going to be offered at Valley Baptist Church beginning on January 16th, 2019?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be called Still Waters. And like you said, it's starting Wednesday night, January 16th. It's going to run from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And it's going to be in a room called S13 on the Fruitvale campus of Valley Baptist Church. So that's 4800 Fruitvale Avenue. And it's absolutely free. There's no cost for the class. And even a cool bonus is that there's free childcare available for the class up through fifth grade. Wonderful. And we've had two now workshops to help families in our church who have people in their lives who they love who are struggling with same-sex attraction. And the turnout and response has been amazing for these workshops, and they've been fantastic times for everyone involved. And from these workshops, we've tried to identify what's the best thing that we as a church can do to help. And so working together with Joseph, we've decided to start up this support group. And so it's going to meet one Wednesday night a month, every month.
Excellent. And the class and the support group is available to men and women that struggle with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. It is for parents with gay-identified children because they need a lot of love, encouragement, and support. But it's also available to anyone who would like to come and learn about the complexities of this particular form of brokenness so they can be more effective in offering a Christ-like response to those who have questions. Amen?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And one thing we're hoping this group will be is what a group was in Joseph's life when he encountered a group like this. So Joseph, do you want to share a little bit about your experience with a group like this in the past?
Sure. It was actually a part of Carol Wagstaff's ministry back in Pasadena, California. This was, gosh, in 2003-2004 with Living Stone Ministries. So I was just at the beginning of my journey of figuring out this unwanted same-sex attraction, and my counselor back at Azusa Pacific had mentioned this support group, and he thought it'd be a good idea if I went. I wasn't really sure what I was expecting. All I knew was that it was a support group of parents of gay-identified children. So I went to the support group, and there were probably about 10 folks there, and Carol, who led the support group. And suddenly, I felt at ease. It was really strange, because I was the only person there dealing with unwanted same-sex attraction. The rest were parents. And we really gleaned so much from each other's experiences. Me as a child, them as a parent, we were able to ask each other questions about why they did things the way they did, and they were able to ask me questions on why I did the things the way I did. And we were able to quickly cause some healing on both ends. But it was primarily and fundamentally rooted in Scripture. And so with Still Waters, the background with the naming of this group was back in Psalm 23, how the shepherd leads us to still waters. And for families dealing with someone in their family who has an unwanted same-sex attraction, this world is so chaotic. You know, getting advice from the world, from social media, you know, it's all very unstill, very turbulent waters. So the thought behind this group is to bring peace and to bring a safe haven for parents who just need a place where they can be open to talk and ask questions, but also know that everything we talk about is rooted on the inerrant scripture of Jesus' word.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, that what we want this group to be is a place where people can come and find love and also find truth.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think it does something. We've seen at these workshops that we've been having that when we get 100 people in our church together and they walk in the same room and look around and realize that they're not the only family in the church going through this kind of stuff,
yes,
it helps them and encourages them to realize that there are other people who are going through the same thing. I mean, when I think about it, I would be surprised if there's any family in our church that doesn't have someone who they love who's experiencing same-sex attraction.
Yes.
And so people are not going through it alone. This is something that everybody's facing. And we want to help people, to equip them, to encourage them, and to actually give them practical ways that they can respond in situations that they're dealing with.
And of course, the group will be biblically based. And there, I would like to turn our attention to talk about the scriptures regarding homosexual practice. First and foremost, a little bit of a disclaimer. We launch out into the subject area, and so often it's reduced to an issue. But this is really about people. Mm-hmm. People whom God loves, people for whom Jesus died. But we know within the totality of scripture in both the Old and the New Testament that every time that homosexuality is mentioned, it is always done so in the context of a behavior not unlike many others in which no man or woman is to practice. But heaven knows today that is being greatly challenged on many different fronts. Amen?
Amen.
But we cannot avoid, once again, the truth and the authority of Scripture that this is a behavior that God says, don't go there. It's not just this behavior. There are many, many others. But I would submit the reason God's been so clear in His Word, as we talked on the previous program, is that God is trying to protect us from unseen danger. That's where we are today. But I think we need to keep the real perspective. This is ultimately about people. Let's talk a little bit about, we touched on this again in the last program, that we as Christians, we're called to speak the truth in love. And when we know the truth of God's word on this topic and many, many others, I would submit that when we withhold that truth, that's not very loving. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I, you know, there's this misconception that love means telling the person what they want to hear. And would someone have told me that, to act on these feelings that I felt were natural, I would be in a world of harm and pain. And that's exactly why I know God gives us these warnings, because he knows what the consequences of disobedient behavior are. It's well documented in research of the statistic of AIDS alone, broken families, depression, suicide that are related to unresolved issues with unwanted same-sex attraction.
Yeah, I think it's important to realize that the best thing for anyone is to know and follow Jesus. And so as believers, the most loving thing we can possibly do on earth is to help people to know and to follow Jesus.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season.
Yes.
But true joy and hope and peace and satisfaction only comes from a close relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And so the reason we as Christians should share what the Bible says in truth and love with those who are experiencing same-sex attraction is because we care about them. Now, there have been people who call themselves Christians who have shared biblical truth with people not out of a heart of concern, but out of a heart of hatred or judgmentalism.
Yes.
But that's not what we're supposed to do. We should share the truth with people because we care about them and we want the best for them. And the best for anyone is to know and follow Jesus.
And the fact, truth, and reality is that our sexuality is a wonderful gift from God, providing sexual expression stays within God's well-defined holy boundary lines. So let's back up a moment. We say we're a Christian. That's a mouthful. Our identity is in Christ, not our sexuality, even though our sexuality is a potent part of who we are. But if we are going to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, in terms of sexual expression, we only have two appointed options for God the Father. One is a man and a woman, the two becoming one, remaining faithful to one another, doing their utmost to stay within the matrimony vows of till death do us part. That's option one. Option two really revolves around a question. The question being, are you single? If the answer is yes, you're not to be sexually active, period. Now, that's often not very well received or popular in the world in which we live today, but that is God's well-defined holy boundary lines. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think there's an illustration that can kind of help explain that. Imagine in your house if you have a fireplace, and when there's fire in the fireplace, it can be a wonderful thing in the home. It can bring warmth to the home and beauty to the home. It can bring people together. But if the fire gets out of the fireplace, it becomes a destructive agent that can burn down the house. And in the same way, human sexuality is a wonderful, beautiful thing that can bring warmth and bring people together when it is in its proper domain, which is a marriage relationship between one man and one woman.
Yes.
But when human sexuality gets out of the fireplace and is expressed in other ways, it can become a dangerous thing that can burn down the house.
Yes.
And so I think a lot of people think that God is anti-sex, and they forget that God created sex. He thought it up.
Yes.
He invented it, and he designed human beings to be able to experience it.
Yes.
But God, who is our creator, knows what's best for us and knows that the most fulfilling and godly way to express our sexual needs is through the marriage relationship between one man and one woman.
Absolutely. I would submit, too, for these men and women with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction, they're going to need a tremendous amount of love, encouragement, and support. And if they cannot enter the church to receive the support that they're going to need to resolve this, where are they going to go? I still see the church today as God's vehicle to reach wounded, broken, hurting humanity. And that includes those that are struggling with the issue of same-sex attraction. But let's not also dismiss or minimize heterosexual men and women and the various forms of sexual brokenness that many are being plagued by today, including some of our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, the epidemic of sex before marriage, habitual adultery, addiction to pornography is off the charts. But sometimes we give that just kind of a wink and a nod, don't we?
Sure. There's a lot of Christians who are anti-gay marriage, but they're not very pro-biblical marriage. And so they themselves sometimes, while they're criticizing other people who are tempted to homosexual sin, are in the same moment committing heterosexual sin.
Yes.
But remember, Jesus warned us that before we can take the speck out of someone else's eye, we have to take the plank out of our own.
Yes. Joseph, let me ask you, what would you say to the man or woman that says, well, you know, okay, I read the scripture and I see this is not what God wants me to do. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but it's still there. How come he hasn't just eradicated? How come he hasn't gone poof and it's gone? What would you say to that person?
That's a good question. I would encourage that person to remain steadfast. If I be completely honest, it hasn't been taken away from me. Not 100%. My sinful nature every now and then still has these moments of weakness where it wants to act on what it feels. So for me, it hasn't gone away. I know there are those rare cases that folks claim that they have, that those feelings have gone away completely. But the more important question is, well, what am I going to do with it? You know, I'm going to be in this body until it's glorified one day. And so in the meantime, I have to work on staying obedient to what God's called me to. I'm fortunate that that I met my wife, Stephanie. I didn't get to finish my testimony in the first recording, but my wife of 10 years now, Stephanie, is an amazing wife. We've got two little kids, and I know this isn't the way all stories end, but I'm just thankful that God was able to restore this specific part of my sexuality. I learned that God wasn't aiming for me necessarily to be attracted to all women, but in my marriage, my only goal was to be attracted to my wife, which I am, and He was able to restore that 100%. So that's really really encouraging that God does still work miracles, because that's essentially what it was for my life.
I think too. We have to realize that just because we're experiencing a temptation does not necessarily mean that we have to give in on that temptation.
Right.
And so if experiencing a temptation means that we can't be a good Christian, then no one could be a good Christian. because we all experience temptations. What our faithfulness is about is not if we're experiencing temptation, but how we respond to that temptation.
Yes.
One of the things I'm so excited about with this Stillwater support group that's going to be starting up is the fact that Joseph is the one who's going to be leading it. Joseph's been very courageous to let our church family know what's going on in his life.
Yes.
And I am excited about the opportunity to show people that experiencing same-sex attraction does not mean that all of a sudden you are excluded from being able to be a faithful follower of Christ.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is not the temptation we experience, it's how we respond to that temptation.
Yes.
And so Joseph is a wonderful, involved, key member of our church, helps in so many ways. And so I'm excited for people to see, wow, okay, people can experience same-sex attraction and yet still respond to it biblically and follow Jesus Christ. I'm also excited about the opportunity to show that not only can someone who is responding biblically to same-sex attraction, not only can they be a faithful follower of Christ, not only can they be a good church member, but also they can serve and lead in our churches.
Yes.
If experiencing temptation meant that we could not lead in our churches, then we would have no leaders in our church. But there are people within our churches who experience temptations but are responding correctly and biblically to them, who can serve and minister to other people. And so I'm excited about Joseph being a way that we can show that to the congregation and say that there is restoration and hope available in Jesus Christ.
You bring a very, very important point to this whole conversation. We do not get to choose that which tempts us, but we do have a choice in terms of how we respond to those temptations. And they're very, very different. I mean, I found in my own life, and again, my life changed completely in so many respects 33 years ago, but I still entered into a process I would label as being discipled. Thank God for a senior pastor and associate pastor who loved me through the process and mentored me and discipled me, made all the difference in the world, because I knew what the problem was. I didn't want to sit around and talk about the problem. I was looking for answers, and the answer is in Jesus Christ.
Sure. You know, I think you brought up a great point of how influential your pastor and your associate pastor are. Churches have got to be the places that help people through this issue.
Yes.
If churches aren't, where are these people going to go? Joseph, I know you have courageously let our church family know about what you've been through and what you experience. Over the last couple of workshops, you've been able to share your testimony. Joseph, could you talk a little bit about the response that you've gotten from our church family once you've let them know about your story?
Yeah, so every time I've shared my testimony, it was always met with love, a sense of appreciation. Folks would say, you know, that must have been really hard for you to share. I'm so glad. Just know that my view of you hasn't changed one bit. I love you even more, which is what I guess I would expect from the body of Christ, from a body of genuine believers to be received with open arms. I'm sure there's always those people who, you know, may have their reservations about who you are, but, you know, that's not my concern. It's just been abundantly and overwhelmingly encouraging to know that the body of Christ that I've shared my testimony with have been so loving.
And imagine if all our churches were like that.
Oh, sure.
Imagine if more and more people who are struggling with same-sex attraction could realize that they're safe to let their churches know and that they can find help.
Sure.
You know, our churches are not supposed to be trophy cases for perfect Christians. They're supposed to be hospitals for those who need help.
Yes.
And so I've been so encouraged to see how our church family has responded to Joseph. You know, honestly, on the first workshop, I was sort of on my toes, ready to defend Joseph if I needed to, depending on how people might react.
Yes.
But people have responded with incredible love and acceptance.
Well, thankfully, Joseph, you and I experienced the same when we shared our form of brokenness, if you will, our background, where we were coming from, but now also our new lives in Christ. Thankfully, you and I experienced the love, encouragement, support of God's people. Made all the difference in the world, didn't it?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is though I have shared my testimony with friends who are gay and living the gay lifestyle, and they're the ones who actually receive it more with a little anger. You know, they ask me, well, are you sure? Do you really feel like you're being true to yourself? And then it makes me kind of question myself, well, am I sure? And then I realize, of course, I know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says is true. But it's just interesting that, you know, even amongst the gay community, that's where there's most hostility.
Yes, and I found the same. Which brings up an interesting point for us to discuss as well. I have been sharing for many, many, many years that the crisis that we have faced, the crisis we face today, really is no longer about homosexuality. The crisis, as I see it, is the lordship of Jesus Christ and the authority of Scripture. God's Word, the Bible, is under relentless bombardment today, not only on this topic, but many, many others. But as faithful followers of Christ Jesus, the Bible must be our textbook for life. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I think so. You know, God is our Creator, and God knows how He made us, and God knows what's best for us.
Yes.
It's a little bit like maybe a car manufacturer. So let's say you have a car company and they make a car. Well, in every single car, they put an instruction manual in the glove box. And there are people who could say, well, forget the instruction manual. I don't need to pay attention to that. I know how to drive better than the creator of this car. And so maybe in the instruction manual, there's an instruction that says unleaded gas only. And they decide, no, I know better than the person who made this car. I'm going to put diesel in there. Well, you're not going to get very far until the car breaks down and you're on the side of the road. And in the same way, God, who is our creator, has given us an instruction manual. And there's a lot of people who say, well, forget the instruction manual. I know better than that anyways. I'm going to live my life my own way. But that will lead to the car breaking down and ending up in a ditch on the side of the road. And I think a lot of people think that God is sort of a killjoy, that God just has written the Bible because he wants to suck all the fun out of life and, you know, remove all pleasure from our life. But God actually knows what's best for us, and God wants the best for us.
Yes.
And so his Bible tells us how to live the most satisfying, fulfilling, peace-filled, love-filled, joy-filled life that we possibly can.
Absolutely. And God the Father honors his word. We see very, very clearly in the wonderful, wonderful passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the passage details at great length a variety of behaviors, some which point directly to human sexuality. Homosexuality is mentioned in the middle of this list of various behaviors that God says no one is to practice. And that's very significant in that passage, because with homosexuality mentioned in the middle, what does it tell us? In God's eyes, it's just another sin. We have far too many men and women today making homosexual practice the unpardonable sin. That contradicts Scripture. If you continue reading that same passage in verse 11, I think we find some of the sweetest words contained in the entire Word of God. The verse says, and this is what some of you were, past tense. So we have, even thousands of years ago, before the Bible was even in print, men and women struggled with same-sex attraction, but they got out. It was resolved in their lives. And people say, well, how'd that happen? It happened then the same way it's happening today. Keep reading the text through a deep, genuine, personal, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ.
Sure. When I look at myself and I look at that list in 1 Corinthians 6, I realize that I'm on that list a couple times. Mm-hmm. And so those words, and such war, some of you are sweet to all of us who are believers.
Past tense.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I think there are Christians, some of them think this with their head, some of them just kind of feel it with their heart, who believe that homosexuals can't get saved, that they can't be forgiven or they can't be changed. And yet that goes against the absolutely clear teaching of the Bible. In the New Testament church, there were people who were former practicing homosexuals who had repented and who were following Jesus.
Yeah.
And the truth is, we see that today. There's many individuals in our church who I know have practiced homosexuality in the past and perhaps even experienced same-sex attraction now, but who have given their life to Jesus and are trying to faithfully follow him, including in the area of homosexuality. I've had the privilege of baptizing some of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I can't out them. So, I mean, that's their courage to do.
Right.
But with someone like Joseph, who has courageously stepped up and said, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ who has this story and I want to follow him, then that's a shining example that Jesus can save and Jesus can change no matter what our temptation is.
I'm finding in my personal travels that a lot of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are very, very... They like the word abomination, which is clear. I mean, that's what the Scripture says in Leviticus. God calls it an abomination. But I'm intrigued by those who would use that word. It's not only the use of the word, but how it's used. Because it says it's an abomination, it doesn't mean that the man or woman can't be redeemed and that deliverance is not available. God just says, again, very clearly, it's an abomination. Don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not exclude men and women from being born again and entering into full, brand new lives in Christ Jesus. But the word abomination today seems to be very, very popular. Have you experienced that, either of you?
Yeah, I think so. And again, we have to read the Bible as a whole, because all Scripture is God-breathed and true. And so whatever the word abomination means, like you said, Pastor Philip, it can't mean that homosexuals are incapable of being saved, because in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul points out that in the early churches, there were former practicing homosexuals who had become Christ followers. Yes. And so we always have to read the Bible as a whole. And like we've talked about before, so much of it is our attitude. Mm-hmm. When we're talking to people about the issue of same-sex attraction, are we doing it from a position of hatred and arrogance? Or are we doing it from a position of love and humility?
Yes.
Are we talking to people about same-sex attraction because we want to get back at them or hurt them or prove them wrong? Or are we talking to them about the issue because we care for them and want what's best for them, which is to follow Jesus Christ?
Personal experience has taught me over these many, many years, especially when I'm trying to reach and reason with a young man or young lady on this whole subject matter, they know almost instantly, do you genuinely care about me, or are you just here to try and win the argument?
Good point.
We're there to share the truth of Scripture, that God loves them, that there is a way out of that form of brokenness through Jesus Christ. But it's a process. We start talking about process, we're always talking about an element of time. Again, when I'm sitting across from young men and young ladies, share the truth of Scripture that yes, change is possible. More than not, the very next question out of their mouth is, how long is this going to take? Well, that's the sovereign work of God, but we partner with Him in that process, don't we?
Sure.
Don't we, Joseph?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, to everyone listening in this morning, once again, we want to highlight what's coming up at Valley Baptist Church, again, beginning on January 16th, 2019.
That's correct.
Still Waters will be a class and a care group for individuals struggling with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction, for parents, possibly with gay-identified children, and fellow believers in Christ that want to learn to be more effective in reaching those with this unwanted form of brokenness. Joseph, you're going to be leading the group. I'm going to be there to support, but you're the leader. But once again, it's coming up very, very soon. And if you'd like more information about this, you can always contact Valley Baptist Church or His Way Out Ministries. Our website is hiswayout.com, and on our website, you'll find a wealth of information. We offer testimonies, educational videos, articles. Again, a ton of information there for you to use. And the website address for Valley Baptist Church, Pastor Brian?
It's valleybaptist.org.
What? Outstanding. Excellent. I am so glad to hear this. It's very, very encouraging. So thank you to the entire staff at Valley Baptist Church and to you, Joseph, for your courage in taking this step. Once again, to everyone joining us this morning, thank you for tuning in. We hope that you'll continue to join us every Saturday morning, same time, same station. Until next time, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.